Can open session. Our board attorney, I think you want to give a statement.
Yes, Mr. Chair. While in closed session, the board determined that it was appropriate to discuss items C in closed session under Government Code Section 549-56.9, Subdivision B3A. No reportable action taken.
Okay. Now, again, that brings us. Is there any more discussion where it relates to item 6E? Mr. Ridley Thomas.
The only item that I wanted to bring to your attention, Mr. Chair, now, there's an amendment that I wanted to offer, and it's been circulated to the directors for their consideration, and it ends up being party two. The instructions given to the Expo Authority's negotiating team with respect to the project labor agreement. It seemed to me that the CEO would need to have the board's direction with respect to this being the option to pursue, to bring it back, obviously, for the board's ultimate approval and or ratification. And I would so move.
So now, Ms. Perry, did you want to say something as well?
I wanted to ask, if it's appropriate, I'd just like to ask a couple of questions to Mr. Thorpe, and then I also...
No, what I'm going to do when it's motion time, in fact, maybe I can ask it now. I think the motions are so similar, and I applaud both of you for the work that you've done. I would recommend that we make them a joint motion introduced by Mr. Thomas and yourself. I will second the motion, and then we move forward on that.
I'm fine with that,
fine with
Mr.
That.
Okay, so now
I haven't seen it's, Ms. Perry's motion.
Why don't you talk about that? Let's move it.
How many do you need down there? While they're taking a look at it, Mr. Chair, would I may I ask a question now? Okay, to Mr. Thorpe.
Yes, go right ahead.
Mr. Thorpe, I just wanted to ask you what the difference was between Contractor A and Contractor B, Skanska and URS, respectively, in relation to their bid.
Hey, Jan, I can't hear you.
Really?
It's hard to hear you.
Okay. How's this? Is this better?
Better.
Okay. Mr. Thorpe, you want me to repeat that question?
I'm assuming. Well, let me see if I got it.
But let me
the difference
my sentence.
In price
me,
between the two of them.
Yeah. So the primary difference is, I think, the determinant. And just tell us how much the difference is. And why don't you answer that part, and then I'll give you the next one.
The difference is about $100 million.
Okay. And in negotiations with the contractor, Air Skanska, you're going to discuss the implementation of the project labor agreement?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. And where the bids, the bids between, just to make it easier, contractors A and B differ, and it's in the range of $100 million, what's your estimate of the cost of the PLA?
I really couldn't put a precise figure, but I've been told it's in the range of $1.5 to $2 million.
Okay. And I understand that that's continues to be something that's ongoing in terms of the discussion and the negotiation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And one of those issues is the number of core workers.
That's correct, for SBEs, small business enterprises.
And I appreciate our board chair's diplomacy and willingness to make sure that everyone's voice is heard on this. And I think just for the record, I just wanted to highlight the language coming out of the Exposition Metro Line Construction Authority on page 12 at the top, the sentence that begins with employers covered by this agreement shall be governed by the following procedure. And the contractor employer has hired, and in the text it says 5, and I'm assuming my motion says changing that to 10, and I think that we're on the same page on that. So we're changing the number 5 to 10. And I also want to make sure we're on the same page, Mr. Board Chair, The PLA clearly reflects minimum wage requirements and worker protections pursuant to state of California law, and that our PLA be modified to encompass those requirements. And are we on the same page on that, too?
Would sound like that.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I think so. So for the purpose of clarification, the objective being sought here is to make sure, as the testimony had been raised earlier, to ensure effective delivery for both small business enterprise and workers. That's in addition to the local hiring component on which we all agreed. So I think what we're essentially doing now is making clear the board's intent, or seeking to do so, with respect to examples where there has been good, defensible performance on the part of project labor agreements that pertain to both local hiring, small business enterprise. That's the thrust of the amendment as being brought forward by Ms. Berry and myself, and seconded by the chair.
Ms. Berry.
Mr. Chair, thank you so much. I need to go back and correct one sentence. I said the word minimum. It should be stricken. The word minimum should be stricken, and prevailing wage should be prevailing should be inserted. So the sentence should read as follows: the PLA should also clearly reflect prevailing wage requirements and worker protections pursuant to California state law, California law, or state law.
That works. Thank you. Mr. Zip? Yes, last question.
Is the city person still here for the city of L.A.?
You mean our CLA?
No.
The city attorney.
Yeah, can you
please come forward?
Are you with the city attorney's office? What's your name? I'm sorry.
It's Hugo Rossiter. I'm a deputy city attorney with the office of the city attorney.
Thank you, Mr. Rossiter. What is the city of L.A.'s PLA standard when it comes to core workers and SBEs, core workers and SBEs?
The core worker provision is basically one for one up to 10. In other words, the...
So someone told me, a member of your governing body told me that... SBEs were exempt from PLAs. Is that
that is not
true?
That is not true. With the city has had some. I'm not sure the exact number. About 10 or 12 particular project PLAs, such as the one for building the police administration building. We've just concluded a public works PLA, which is a multi-project 5-year PLA. Which is about $2 plus billion over 5 years. That was just signed right around the end of the year. And that does not have any particular exemption for any category of business. Or
so
special accommodation.
Where would somebody have gotten that impression? Something in there somewhere, city or the master project list or something, where that might be the case, or... is made up out of whole cloth?
Well, PLA is a bargained, negotiated agreement. And during that process, the whole issue of small business and its concerns were raised in various proposals. So it's entirely possible that someone might have seen sees and retains what one wants, seen some proposals that address that issue. But the final document does not contain any such
So every construction project in the city of Los Angeles that is subject to a PLA includes SBEs in that PLA. They are subject to the 1 to 1 up to 10.
That's correct.
Standard.
That's correct.
Is that your understanding? You've been able to independently
I have heard both, and between now and the time we come back, I'll make sure that we're on the same page. I've heard that the city has a separate SBE program, but the other program, which is like the public works, is consistent with what he said.
And then
that I've heard too, 1-to-1 up to 10.
And then there are some other jurisdictions that, not the city of L.A., not the L.A. Unified School District, that have exempted a certain number of core jobs from
there are
San Gabriel Unified School District, for example, I think exempts the first five. Then it kicks in 1-to-1.
I think there are many, many PLAs with public entities in the state of California and elsewhere. Different entities and the relevant building trades councils have negotiated different solutions. It's not one size fits all.
So. Yeah, but different solutions with the same building trades council in this county. That's what I'm trying to understand, is why this was such a... Our original provision on core employees was what, Mr. Thorpe? Was it to exempt the first five?
Yeah, we had a two-level. It was for SBEs. The first five were exempt, and then it was 1-to-1 beyond that. Then we also had an SBE if you were from a local area or a community area. They were exempt. So you could have, if you had a core worker from the area of the project or an area of over 150% unemployment, they would be allowed to be utilized on the job.
And does this motion wipe both of those out?
Yes, it would.
Okay. Because I thought the reason, and this is not my field of expertise, but I thought the reason that we put that carve-out originally was there was some concern that the very smallest businesses not be put out of business because of these requirements. And maybe the 1-to-1 up to 10 mitigates that in part or maybe completely. I don't know. If we do this, we'll find out. But I thought there was a conscious effort in that meeting to carve out the five to insulate the very smallest businesses from, a business of five people from these requirements.
Well, that was the idea at the time.
But, Mr. Thorpe, if I may, Mr. Chair, the conversation with LAUSD that occurred yesterday that involved you, it's my understanding part of the reason for the amendment, those concerns were raised. I spoke in general terms earlier about the amendment protecting and advancing the very goal that the board had articulated from the outset when I introduced this motion, namely to serve three objectives: local worker hiring, small business enterprise, and the project laborer agreement. Is our considered judgment then that the project labor agreement creates a context in which we can meet those other two objectives? The concern that some of us had then was not to harm small business enterprise by any one of the three objectives that was being pursued. After a lot of conversation with small businesses, repeatedly asked you and your staff if there was any feedback to the contrary from the small business community over two different board meetings. We asked that you go out and get as much feedback as you could. That effort was made in earnest, and a satisfactory response was retrieved. As recent as yesterday, my understanding that after having looked even further, no substantial concerns could be reported with respect to proceeding with an amendment of this sort ultimately serve the interests of the respective stakeholders that we've articulated. Therefore, it would seem to me that abundance of due diligence has been done at this point. It's appropriate to proceed, therefore, the amendment as it has been advanced by at least three members of the board.
Ms. Berry.
And for Supervisor Yaroslavsky, just so that you know that we worked with Mr. Rossiter and Mr. Reamer and stakeholders from professional business organizations and from the Building Trades Council for the course of, how long did it take us, Hugo, about 2 years or a year and a half?
Almost 3 years, actually.
This language is analogous to the language that we, Mr. Parks, Mr. Wesson, and I, along with our colleagues, voted on in the city of Los Angeles, and the objective of this manner in which we express ourselves is to strike that balance, which I think we can achieve in this situation, too.
Okay. Mr. Yaroslavsky.
I'll just finish my question. Mr. Thorpe, what would be the impact, if any, on our costs with this modification? It doesn't seem to me it would be significant in terms of the cost of whatever the PLA cost is, this one issue.
Right. I don't anticipate that there would be any significant added cost as a result of this change. It is a change to what the contractor bid on, so I would have to negotiate it with the contractor.
Last question is, how many small, not even small, 5 to 10 person companies work on this kind of a job?
I wouldn't think a lot of small companies. I mean, SBEs, that our definition goes up to the SBA standards, which is very significant. It's hard to say. There may be some small glazing companies, but most of our work is done through the five major unions, the laborers, carpenters, electricians, iron workers, that sort of thing. So I suspect that that small of a firm would be in the minority, but as Supervisor Ridley Thomas indicated, we had a discussion with LAUSD last night, and they indicated that their program using that ratio has been very successful. They do have a plus and a minus. One of them, you had indicated, if it's a very, very small firm, there may be an issue of core workers not being able to work on the project. But on the other hand, there's an upside to it where a small business that may only have five core workers through this program could hire on union workers and actually go after more work and get more work than they normally would be able to do with just their five core workers. So there's an upside to it as well. And we really don't know how much impact unless we move forward.
Small company, five-person company, would have nothing to bid on if there was no project. So from that point of view, even if they only three of their core workers were applied to this project, three more than they put to work if there wasn't such a project in this economy at any rate.
Right.
All right, thanks.
Okay. Then if there's a desire to do a roll call vote, we can. Ms. O'Connor?
Right, and this is on this amendment. Right, I mean, frankly, the staff report says to authorize the CEO to enter into scope, cost, and project labor agreement negotiations. I mean, certainly that gives us some room to specify it, but I didn't have any written materials before this meeting on this, so I want to vote on the amendment first. In terms of one of them, I guess I'm
so you want to vote on them separately?
Or just the amendment. Well, there are two things in this. There's recommendation one and two is the PLA, I guess. Right. Two has to do with the PLA. The one point says to undertake a legal review of the proposed PLA. Well, I assume that the contract and agreement, and you would always do that as a matter of course? Do a legal agree?
Yes, we've had our attorneys look at it, but I think what we're talking about now is there is some revised language that the Building Trades Council would
like to
see.
So you're going to look at the revised language, as you normally would do as a matter of course.
That's correct.
And I just want to make some assurance here that the legal team is looking at agreements such as this, that this is a matter of course, that if it's a new language, it's vetted properly.
And that we do.
Right. Okay. Okay. So I think that's something that would be done. I don't necessarily have any objection to finding out more about the best practices of the LAUSD Small Business Bootcamp Program. I think that's an easy way to give direction to the staff. I know that it's highly regarded. I don't mean you need to do a lot of data, but certainly when this comes back, is that database that is highly regarded? Is it anecdotal? When you report back to us, that would be helpful, too, to know. And, frankly, I've not had time to analyze the 5 versus 10, so I'm just going to abstain on this part of it today.
Okay, call the roll. You can start with me.
Chair Wesson?
Aye.
Director Molson?
Yes.
Director O'Connor?
Abstain.
Director Perry?
Aye.
Director Willie Thomas?
Yes.
Director Yaslovsky?
Yes.
Vote carried.
Okay, now that brings us, we need to vote on, that was on the motion, right?
On number two, right, number
so
one.
So now we're voting on six, the core.
Right, number one. Well, I thought that was the amendment, the two amendments. That
that's what I thought we
voted. And then so 6-1.
So now we vote on the whole thing.
Right. Right. The amendment's passed, and now it's part of the whole motion.
Now, do you still want to do a voice, a roll call vote? No?
Yeah.
No. I mean, if there's no need. Because without, if there's no request for a roll call vote, then without an objection, we will... Okay, we can have a roll call vote. Started with me, yes.
Director Molson?
Yes.
Director O'Connor?
Yes.
Director Perry?
Yes.
Director Willie Thomas?
Yes.
Director Yaslovsky?
Yes.
Vote carried.
Okay, that brings us to item 6D. Thank you. Hey, you guys, I mean, if you're going to give us an applause, you could do better than that. I mean, geez, Louise. That's better.
Item 6D, Phase 2 Master Cooperative Agreement and Funding Agreement with Metro.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to go over this briefly and then... actually request that we defer it for 30 days until the next board meeting because there's still a couple issues that we would like to iron out with Metro on the master cooperative agreement and the funding agreement.
Okay, so let me. We should probably just table this then.
Well, I'd like to just give you a little bit, just take maybe a minute or two to give you an idea of what the things are.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the vice chair to take over. Mr. Yaroslavsky, it's my understanding we're going to get a brief overview on this item. We will not be doing, we will continue 7A and B until the next meeting. And we do have one more item in closed session, and I should be right back.
All right,
so
ahead.
The gavel is yours.
Go ahead, Rick.
Okay. Part of state legislation requires the construction authority to enter into a master cooperative agreement and funding agreement with Metro. For the last couple of months, we've been working diligently on a master cooperative agreement. We have I think successfully reached agreement on most of the issues. Certainly the inspection rights, design review comments, and those sort of things. The one element that I want to bring to your attention is the state law requires that Metro approve any significant changes to the project, and there's language included and incorporated into that, so that if we make any significant changes, we have to go back to the Metro board. Other than that, it identifies how we're going to work together in implementing the project. The one issue that we did have on the funding agreement side of it is this will be a Measure R project. There is in the Measure R ordinance, there's a requirement for a attribution. The issue really is who's responsible to secure that 3% local contribution. We believe that we ought to work together to do that, but there is that issue in discussions with Art Leahy at Metro. We believe that we should be able to iron out some language between now and the next board meeting. They intend to take it to their board, being the Metro board, in the end of February, and then we would bring it back to this board in March for final approval.
All right. Any questions? Go, Pam.
Just and during this period, too, I think it is important, at least for my city, that there be some more dialogue and understanding and discussion about this, because we just received it the other day also, and have some transparency and mutually working together on that. I'm glad we're taking a little more time and hope that we'll have that dialogue with
them. Okay. I just like...
Yeah.
Just to comment, it seems kind of peculiar to put the construction authority in the position of having to collect money from agencies when we're not when Metro is actually the agency that's funding the project itself. I hope there's going to be some way that you can work out that will make sure that the final responsibility for gaining that funding lies with Metro. If there's going to be any issues of offsetting it with money that might have come from Metro for other purposes and so on. That's something that only they can work out. Obviously, the authority can't. So for my part, I think that's a really important issue to deal with.
Thank you. This item will be put over for the next meeting. I've communicated to both Rick and to the Metro staff conversation should take place, and the emails that have been sent in the last 24 hours have been really unnecessary and counterproductive. Both Mr. Wesson and myself, especially myself since I sit on both the boards and Ms. O'Connor does, are perfectly happy to help resolve any differences without raising the temperature level. Happened yesterday. Passed now, and we'll work this out between now and next month. That item will be put over. The only item left then is closed session.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Item 10A is a conference with legal counsel regarding anticipated litigation. One matter is listed on the agenda. Item 10C is a conference with real property negotiator under Government Code 54956.8. The matter listed in the agenda. We do not anticipate reportable action.